numbskulls, I'm broadcasting.
This is Stuart Venner. I tell it as I see it, and I see it as it is.
It was interesting, but it was also stupid.
Well, you've all heard the story about Rudolph and his nose. But I'll tell you a Christmas tale that never has been told. Well, you may think you've heard it all, but you ain't heard nothing yet. About that crazy Christmas that the North Pole can't forget. Rudolph was under the weather. He had to call in sick. So he got on the horn to his cousin Leroy, who lived out in the sticks. He said, Santa's really counting on me, and I hate to pass the buck. Leroy said, hey, I'm on my way, and he jumped in his pickup truck. When Leroy got to the North Pole, all the reindeer snickered and laughed. They'd never seen a deer in overalls and a John Deere tractor hat. But Santa stepped in and said, just calm down, 'cause we've all got a job to do. And like it or not, Leroy's in charge, and he's gonna be leading you. And it was Leroy, the redneck reindeer, hooked to the front of the sleigh, delivering toys to all the good old boys and girls along the way. He's just a down home party animal, two-stepping across the sky. He makes jingle bells with a rebel yell and made history that night.
This is Stuart Venner. I want to welcome you to this week's Christmas show. We have a great lineup of guests. We're talking to Jennifer Masters. Jennifer is a sex therapist for women. She's a very interesting guest. We're also talking to Brittany Cara. Brittany is going to tell us the danger of the food that we eat and how the FDA lies to us. We have our weekly segment with our stock market moron, Fred Claridge. We'll see how he did this week. Fred, of course, lost $1 million in one day. We're talking to Steve Boucher. Steve is going to tell us how he does e-recording of documents all over the country. You no longer have to go to the recorder's office. And finally, we're talking to LaDonna Smith. LaDonna is the author of a book, I Married Satan. She's going to tell us about the spousal abuse that she endured. Please stay tuned. I know you're going to love the show.
She's a woman. She's a woman.
Ladies and gentlemen, the woman song.
She's a woman.
I am woman, hear me roar, if you don't open my door. I can do anything that a man can do, but I don't have to. Oh, the female sex has a lot more class, unless we're looking at a male stripper's ass. I'm a 21st century gal, but I can't set my VCR.
She's a woman. She's a woman.
Well, I am not your hooker, but you're still gonna pay. Because sex is a special thing and a darn good weapon. Because my body belongs to me until I get dinner and a movie. I don't sleep around until I do a credit check.
She's a woman. Yeah. She's a woman.
And I have a mind of my own, which I change every 2 seconds. And I'm not afraid to ask for directions because I can't fold a map. I stand behind my man so I can nag him as much as I can. And I can fight in combat, but I can't kill a spider.
She's a woman. Yeah. She's a woman.
And I never tell a lie, but I will fake an orgasm. 'Cause I am the real McCoy, except for my boobs and my face. And I don't take drugs and I don't drink booze, but I am addicted to buying shoes. And I'm very proud of my age, which is none of your frickin' business.
She's a woman. Yeah. She's a woman.
I have a very interesting guest on the line. We're speaking to Jennifer Elizabeth Masters. She is the self-love guru. Jennifer, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, Stuart. I appreciate you having me.
Oh, it's my pleasure. You have a very interesting resume. I'm reading about you. What is a self-love guru?
I help people, especially women, love themselves fearlessly. I work with especially women that have been traumatized in childhood or had abuse in marriages and relationships.
Yes.
And my feeling and sense is when people love themselves, then abuse and victimization no longer enters into the relationship.
Well, that makes certainly a lot of sense. Now, you are a sex coach for women.
Yes.
How can I get that job?
Well, here's what I've found, and this is true. 40% of women are sexually dysfunctional, and most of that comes from trauma from childhood.
Not just from being, not just because some of them might be ugly.
If that is a woman, it does look like she was beaten with an ugly stick.
Sexual molestation is the base. Or perhaps they were touching themselves as a child and they got shamed. And so this cellular level is frozen from this fright or flight.
And well, that is a serious matter. That's true.
Yeah.
And you're helping them get over this and overcome these problems?
Yes, and sometimes in just one session is all it takes. I mean, I worked with a woman from the UK this past week, and one session. And it really was life-changing for her.
That's wonderful. You've written a book called Orgasm for Life.
Well, that one, it's coming out in January 2014.
Okay. That's directed to women.
Well, it actually is the interface for men and women. We all want the same things intrinsically. Men want the same thing as women. We want to be loved, accepted, and you know, made love to. And we have difficulty communicating with one another. I liken men to PCs of the world, and women are like Macintosh computers, and we can't direct connect. So Orgasm for Life is the interface to help men and women connect with one another through communication. The better our communication is outside the bedroom, the better it is inside the bedroom.
That certainly has a lot of validity. Now, you have quite an interesting background. You were a flight attendant, a master gardener, a landscape designer. You've done all kinds of stuff.
Yes, I have. I kind of recreate myself every 7 or 8 years. I have my landscaping business for about 11 years. But helping people love themselves has become my passion. And it certainly brings me a lot of joy.
My wife was a former flight attendant. When I want to get her angry, I call her a stewardess.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is your stewardess speaking. By the way, is there anyone on board who knows how to fly a plane?
Oh, that'll do it.
That's a bad word.
I don't know why we don't like it, but we sure don't.
Well, I do use it whenever I want to irritate her a little bit.
You now, like pushing
now, you
are button,
also
huh?
A minister. Where are you a minister?
Well, I use that, you know, through the through my coaching. It really comes in handy. I mean, my spirituality is such a part of my life.
What are you, in the Universal Life Church?
Yes, that's right.
I have one of those. I paid $15 extra and became a saint. I upgraded. Yeah, you might consider upgrading. For $15, you can become a saint. But no, seriously, tell us what you do with these women, how you help them.
Well, I'm very intuitive, and so when I'm working with women, they begin to tell me their story, and I see, like, motion pictures, and then I'm able to see what patterns are replaying in their lives.
I see.
That they can't seem to get beyond. And I help to remove these patterns from their unconscious mind. And I give them lots of tools that they can use, you know, on a daily basis that help them cope. And there's a couple of different prayers that I use, like the Ho'oponopono prayer for forgiveness.
So the who, the what, the what a prayer?
Ho'oponopono. It's a kahuna healing prayer. It's very powerful. Very simple, but powerful.
Wow. Okay.
And so I'm giving them tools to use. So it isn't just a coaching program. I give them things that they can use on a regular basis. Because we can do fine in a coaching call, but if you don't have tools to use in your daily life when situations arise, then, you know, you can't take your coaching out into your life. And that's what I empower women to be able to take
well,
off
that,
and fly.
That is a wonderful thing that you're doing. Now, I remember, sir, you were married and divorced 4 times. Are you married now?
Yes. No, I'm actually single.
Okay.
And I've learned a lot from my relationships.
I bet.
And, you know, I certainly am an expert at what not to do.
Well, are you back in the market?
I'm back in the market. Well, I mean, I'm currently dating, you know, but I'm happy being alone. It doesn't matter whether I'm with someone or, and this is very different for me because one of my issues was severe codependency, where I had to have a man to feel full and complete, or I thought I did, and, you know, now life for me is very different. I don't have that neediness anymore. And so that's what I'm helping women accomplish in their lives, too. Because when you feel full and complete on your own, you know, without that grasping neediness to
yes.
have to have a relationship, then you will be less likely to accept behavior that isn't in your best interest, like abusive behavior.
Well, I think that is really wonderful. Now, you've written a couple books, and I mentioned briefly the new one. Can you tell us about your books and how people can get them?
Certainly. My other book, Odyssey, Victim to Victory, is available on Amazon, and it's available in Kindle form as well as paperback. That is actually the story of my life, and I use my life as a teaching tool, because if I can do this, you can do this too. And so each chapter has a, you know, what did I learn? And that's the thing with our relationships. We're here to learn, and relationships help us see more about ourselves. And that's it. Change their perspective. So rather than pointing a finger at other people.
And your other book is Orgasm for Life, which is coming out next month.
Yes.
It's a good title.
Thank you. Kind of eye-catching, isn't it?
It is. So, you know, we're speaking again to Jennifer Elizabeth Masters, and you can go to Amazon and you can get Odyssey, Victim to Victory, and next month you'll probably be able to get the Orgasm for Life book. And Jennifer, you've been very enlightening, and I've really enjoyed having you on the show.
Are you stuck with a timeshare? Did you attend the presentation and were seduced and enticed into buying that great vacation and investment? Now you're in the terrible position of trying to figure out a way to get out of that mess. You're not alone. For over 15 years, BuyYourTimeshare.com has been helping people like yourself get out of timeshare ownership. The fact is, there is no resale market. Unscrupulous telemarketers call you and say they have buyers waiting, and the next thing that happens is you give them hundreds of dollars for an ad, and you'll never hear from them again. Another fact is that an identical timeshare to yours is being offered on eBay for a dollar, and no one is buying it. If you want out of your timeshare, I urge you to go to buyyourtimeshare.com or call them at 877-94-HELP-ME. That number again is 877-94-HELP-ME. Buyyourtimeshare.com. That's buyyourtimeshare.com. 877-94-HELP-ME. 877-94-HELP-ME.
We'll be right back. dessert till you clean off your plate, so eat it. Don't you tell me you're full, just eat it. Eat it. Get yourself an egg and beat it. Have some more chicken, have some more pie. Yourself to blame, so eat it, just eat it. You better listen, better do what you're told. You haven't even touched your tuna casserole. You better chow down, or it's gonna get cold, so eat it. I don't care if you're full, just eat it, eat it. Open up your mouth and feed it. Have some more yogurt, have some more Spam. It doesn't matter if it's fresh or it doesn't matter what you had for lunch. Just eat it, eat it, eat it, eat it. Eat it, eat it, eat it, eat it.
Welcome back to the show. I have Brittany Cara on the line. Brittany is an author, a certified master NLP practitioner, a hypnotherapist, a nutrition coach, and a mother. And her mission is to inspire people to take control of their health and to search for the truth. Brittany, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much for having me on. Good morning.
Oh, it's my pleasure to have you on. We're going to be talking a little bit about FDA and food regulations and if they're honest or not. What do you think?
Yeah. well, you know, I've done a lot of research on this, and I would have to say they're pretty dishonest. So it's not an organization that I personally trust. And
you mean our government can be dishonest?
Gosh, you know, it's amazing how that happens, right? but, you know, I think that people are waking up to it now. I think that we've seen enough, you know, in our governmental agencies in general to make us start to question things, and the FDA is definitely an institution that has proven time and time again that they're just not trustworthy, and they don't have our best interest in mind. It's usually that.
Well, I think you're probably right there. Specifically, can you give us some examples?
Absolutely. Well, one of the things that I'm really passionate about and that I, you know, talk a lot to people about is, you know, the issue with genetically modified foods being on the market right now, and the FDA has a lot to do with that because I don't know if you're aware of this fact, but a lot of people don't know. Recently, the Obama administration in 2010 approved a new section of the FDA, which is for food labeling and safety and new food legislation, and they actually put a guy named Michael Taylor at the head of this. He's the deputy food commissioner, and he used to be the vice president for public relations for the company Monsanto that actually creates all these GMO foods. So there's a lot of just inner workings and, you know, political stuff that goes on behind the scenes that we don't really know about in the media, the traditional media.
So
and it's a problem because
when the government tells you you should eat something and you shouldn't eat something, they're not telling you the truth necessarily.
Right, right. And there's no labeling laws on genetically modified foods right now, so people are consuming them, and they're in 80% of packaged goods. And so the mass public is consuming them on a daily basis, and they're linked to cancers, allergies, digestive issues, other health issues, and we don't know that we're eating them. So it's a huge health problem, and it's a really big scandal, as I like to call it. And that's just one example. You know, there's so many. With the FDA,
well,
for sure.
I personally follow a philosophy. I've never been sick a day in my life. I can say that. And I don't eat any green vegetables. I eat lots of butter. I eat lots of eggs. I eat fatback is one of my favorite things for breakfast. And I'm never sick, so I it works for me.
You got some good genes. Yeah. I mean, I'm definitely a proponent of green vegetables, but hey, you know, if it's working for you.
I just can't stand them. I eat salad. Yeah, I like salad.
Good. Yeah, don't scare me too much. You got to get some greens in there. You got to have some of the greens and the chlorophyll. You need that for your body, definitely, to function.
I don't know. I remember when I was about 15 years old, my friend's mother fixed lunch for us, and she gave me watercress sandwiches. I said, what'd you do, mow the lawn?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, you know, kids come to my house. I have two young girls. I have a 5-year-old and a 20-month-old, and so we live off vegetables because we pretty much have a vegan vegetarian diet. So well, kind of the opposite of you.
I think the folks out there should listen to you and not me.
Yeah. But kids will come over to my house, and they're like, what are you guys eating? I'm like, it's eggplant and Brussels sprouts. And they're like, well, what?
Do you think it's good to serve organic foods?
Absolutely, yeah. That's a huge question I get from people, too. A lot of people think that organic is just a fad and it's a way for companies to make more money or whatnot, but there actually is a significant difference in the nutrient value and the safety of certified organic, preferably locally grown produce, because you are reducing your exposure to the pesticides and the insecticides and all the junk that they spray on conventionally grown foods. And there's also studies that have shown that conventionally grown foods do not have the same nutrition value as organically grown foods do. So it definitely is a better choice. And I always tell people, hey, you know, if you can't buy 100% organically grown foods, which a lot of people can't because it is more expensive, you know, just try to at least once or twice a month go to your local farmer's market and get some at least locally grown conventional fruits and vegetables, because those are even better than the conventional stuff that's in the supermarket, because it's coming,
you
know, from the farm.
What do you think about dairy products like milk? Is it good to drink milk?
Yeah, my personal belief is no, that the human body does not need cow's milk.
Well, I agree with you. Milk is the only thing that kind of gives me indigestion. I think it's really made for baby cows.
It is. You know, we're the only mammals that consume another mammal's milk past the age of birth, so it's kind of weird. Like, we wouldn't think about drinking cat's milk. Like, people would be like, ew, that's disgusting, or like a pig's milk or something. But, you know, cow's milk is so commercially shoved down our throats that it's good for us. And also, research shows that, you know, the countries that consume the highest amount of dairy products also have the highest rates of osteoporosis, which we're told by the FDA and other governmental organizations that drinking milk, you know, protects your bones from things like osteoporosis. And it's a huge lie. So you do not need to have dairy products to get, you know, calcium and those types of nutrients. You can get those from
green. Well, what do you give your kids to get their calcium?
Yeah, you know, we eat a ton of leafy greens. You know, things like kale and collards have calcium in it. And, you know, my kids have, their iron levels are great, their calcium is great. So we have them on a great, you know, kids multivitamin. And if you eat a balanced diet, you can get the proper nutrients from foods, and it doesn't necessarily have to be dairy. My kids do drink almond milk, organic almond milk. And if you are going to go the dairy route with kids or yourself, I do recommend organic goat's milk, because it does have a closer profile to human breast milk than cow's milk. So cow's milk, and like you said, when you drink it, you get indigestion and stuff. A lot of people have...
Do your kids eat ice cream? Do you give them ice cream?
Do the kids eat ice cream? My kids? Once in a blue moon, they'll have ice cream. But there's a lot of... there's a lot of non-dairy, amazing desserts and sweets out now that are really, really good, and so people can go to places like Whole Foods or their local health food store and
get non-dairy ice cream. Milk bothers me, but I can eat ice cream. I just love ice cream. I eat a lot of ice cream.
No, ice cream's good, but I'll tell you a story. This is interesting, because a lot of people don't know this either. The owner of Baskin-Robbins, his son, so the heir to the Baskin-Robbins fortune, so it was worth I don't even know how many millions of dollars when the original guy passed away, he sold that entire company and wanted nothing to do with the profits, because he had researched and learned what milk products actually did in the human body. And he's now vegan. He promotes vegan vegetarianism. He speaks all over the country. He wrote a book called Diet for New America. And he's raised his entire family vegan vegetarian. They do not eat ice cream. And this is a guy that, you know, had the Baskin-Robbins heir, you know, passed down to him. So it's just kind of interesting when you start to kind of look past what we've been told by traditional media and marketing. It's, you know, it's not always what it seems to be.
Well, that's probably true, but I just love my ice cream. I eat a lot of it. Tell us, have you written a book, or how can people find out more about you?
Yes, I did. I wrote a book earlier. It was published earlier this year. It's called The Silent Scandal, and it's all about these types of topics. It's about the American health crisis and what people can do to get to a better state of health and get empowered with their knowledge of what's going on in our food and healthcare industry.
It sounds like it's pretty important reading. And how can people get it?
You can actually go to the website. It's www.thesilentscandal.com, and you can purchase it there. You can read about it there. There's a little video from me to the readers about, you know, my journey with it, and it's also available on, you can link to Amazon from there, but you can get it on Amazon.com, and you can also get it on BarnesandNoble.com. So,
okay, so we're speaking, we've been speaking to Brittany Kara, K-A-R-A, and her book is The Silent Scandal. You can go to silentscandal.com or to Amazon or Barnes & Noble. I think it's important for everybody to read because you can't just rely on what I do, because I'm just lucky, I think, because I eat horrible. But I am lucky. But it's important to know what you're putting in your stomach, and the government doesn't always tell you the truth, right?
You're absolutely right. You hit it right on the spot. So that's very, very true.
Brittany, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Are you stuck with a timeshare? Did you attend the presentation and were seduced and enticed into buying that great vacation and investment? Now you're in the terrible position of trying to figure out a way to get out of that mess. You're not alone. For over 15 years, BuyYourTimeshare.com has been helping people like yourself get out of timeshare ownership. The fact is, there is no resale market. Unscrupulous telemarketers call you and say they have buyers waiting, and the next thing that happens is you give them hundreds of dollars for an ad, and you'll never hear from them again. Another fact is that an identical timeshare to yours is being offered on eBay for a dollar, and no one is buying it. If you want out of your timeshare, I urge you to go to buyyourtimeshare.com or call them at 877-94-HELP-ME. That number again is 877-94-HELP-ME. buyyourtimeshare.com. That's buyyourtimeshare.com. 877-94-HELP-ME. 877-94-HELP-ME.
www.theideamagazine.com. We've got news up there. We've got an audio section. We've got our comedy zone, as well as videos and interviews with entertainers and musicians from around the country. We have our country music section. We have reporters all over the country, including in Canada and overseas in Europe. Check out The Idea Magazine at www.theideamagazine.com. Photo galleries, audio, print editions coming soon to www.theideamagazine.com.
Even if Fred was a little special. Fred was kind with good intent, but just a little different. Oh, special Fred. Mama dropped him on his head. Now he's not so bright instead. He's a little bit special.
Folks, we have Fred Claridge on the line, our stock market expert, lost $1 million in one day. He's here to give us an update on how he did the last week on some new tips. Fred, welcome.
Oh, no, this is, you think you're in the Moyle factory if you want tips.
Tell me, how did you do this last week?
This last week, we only lost about 10%, which is pretty good. The market was about unchanged. We're in a phase now that I call the Otis elevator phase. In other words, we're going to be up one day, down one day, up one day, down one day. And that we're going to see probably through the end of the year.
Now, how did you do in your own personal portfolio?
My own portfolio, as I say, I was only down 10%, which is a moral victory. Because last year at this time, I was down 17%. So we're going in the right direction.
So you're doing better. And do you have any tips for us this week?
Yes, I do. Basically, what most people are rooting for, the senior citizens especially, is that the stock market goes down between now and year end. And the reason for that is that most people's IRAs, their IRAs, are pegged at the price at the end of the value of their portfolio at the end of the year. So the lower their portfolio, the less they will have be forced to take out of their IRAs. Now, this, of course, is for people who still have money in their IRAs.
Well, you should be great at that because you're always less.
Oh, well, absolutely. So every year I have to take out less. The problem with that is that I have less to take out from. So the thing is, just keep smiling, keep buying, put your money into the future of America. I think a lot of things that we should be looking at are really in the medical field, because once this Affordable Care Act, a.k.a. Obamacare, blows up, we're going to see a lot of new companies start to do very well again.
Well, I think it is going to blow up. But again, whatever Fred tells you, if you do the opposite, you're going to make a lot of money. Fred, I just want to bring up one little thing. If I remember right, a number of years ago, you actually did something right, and you made something like $10,000 in one day after losing almost every day. And didn't you then get a letter from the SEC?
Oh, yes. They wanted to investigate it for insider sales. I happened to buy a stock called ITT, which at the time was in the hotel business. And I bought a stock at 40, and the next day it went to 50, and the SEC said, you must have had some inside information.
So you lost $1 million in one day. You, from our talking every week, you seem to lose every week. One time you made some money, and they questioned you. That's our government.
Wouldn't you?
Fred, thank you again for your great advice, and thanks for coming on the show.
And you guys and gals that are in the stock market, keep on smiling. It doesn't hurt.
Are you stuck with a timeshare? Did you attend the presentation and were seduced and enticed into buying that great vacation and investment? Now you're in the terrible position of trying to figure out a way to get out of that mess. You're not alone. For over 15 years, BuyYourTimeshare.com has been helping people like yourself get out of timeshare ownership. The fact is, there is no resale market. Unscrupulous telemarketers call you and say they have buyers waiting, and the next thing that happens is you give them hundreds of dollars for an ad, and you'll never hear from them again. Another fact is that an identical timeshare to yours is being offered on eBay for a dollar, and no one is buying it. If you want out of your timeshare, I urge you to go to buyyourtimeshare.com or call them at 877-94-HELP-ME. That number again is 877-94-HELP-ME. Buyyourtimeshare.com. That's buyyourtimeshare.com. 877-94-HELP-ME. 877-94-HELP-ME.
Songs to my hard drive. I can copy games and CDs too. I know Windows XP's worse than Windows 95, and 98 is better than the two.
Welcome back to the show. I have Steve Boucher on the phone. Steve is a gentleman that I've been doing some business with myself, and I can't tell you how important a job he is doing. Steve does e-recording of documents. In other words, you used to have to go into the recorder's office and record deeds and documents, and now you can do them almost instantaneously through Steve's service. Steve, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me on.
Oh, it is really my pleasure. Steve, tell us a little bit about e-recording, because it's something kind of new, and I don't think folks really know that much about it.
Well, it's not really new. People just don't know about it.
Okay.
In 2002, the federal government mandated that electronic recording of legal documents be permitted, and that was the Altera Agreement. And in 2002, we said to ourselves, hey, with all the deeds and mortgages being recorded across the U.S., somewhere around, I believe it's 113 million, according to the FBI last year's figures.
Wow.
Why don't we get into e-recording? So we developed the system for approximately 8 years. It was very hard to get recorders of deeds and clerks, comptrollers and auditors for these separate counties to sign on board and electronically accept documents. They were mindset in, you know, original signatures, looking at the notary stamp. Then sometime in 2009, we developed the sales force and said, hey, we'll beat the pavement, we'll show these counties what we can do, and that's what we did. And since 2009, a little over 600 recorder of deeds have signed up for our service.
That's incredible. I know I used it myself with you just a little while ago, and it was fantastic. In a matter of minutes, I had the recorded document back in my hand with a stamp from the recorder, and it's fantastic, really.
Well, it's not always easy. Our service provides a review of the documents coming through the scanners. The scanner picks up on dates, document prepared by notary stamps and signatures. It also looks for accompanying documents such as affidavits of values, their property value reports, assessed value reports. In different states, the forms can differ. So when the system goes off, it stops the document when it doesn't see something that's supposed to be there. Then one of our legal staff, we have real estate attorneys, they look at the document, says it needs this, we'll apply it, such as document prepared by, because we have your name as a customer,
right?
Or we'll send it back with a rejection reason, please fix this, and resubmit it through the system.
Well, I know you give great service, because I had a little error or a little in the sizing or the margins on mine, and you actually took care of everything for me.
Well, attorneys don't know everything. You know, it takes a recorder to record documents. Such, you know, attorneys make mistakes, and or they don't know what the prerequisites of the county are, because the rules are forever changing in the recording of documents.
And it's different in every county.
Every county. Take Philadelphia. They'll charge $230 to record a mortgage, where every other county in Philadelphia. Or Pennsylvania will charge $53.
Is that terrible?
And they all have different requirements. So you're really stuck with the public employee that's basically reviewing it. Even though they're not looking at documents anymore, they're looking at images of documents. And, you know, one recorder or one reviewer will go one way on a document, and the other one will go another way on the document.
I know that. You know, I recorded a document years ago up in a little county up in Northern California. They probably record 3 documents a week. And I swear they must have some little old lady there. I can just picture her with a ruler measuring margins. And if it's a 16th of an inch off, she'll send it back.
Well, you know, you take Texas, which is the largest state in the United States. They have 264 counties. Some of these counties are so small, they don't even have a website.
Wow.
So, of course, those counties, such as South Dakota. South Dakota has no e-recording, where Colorado is 100% e-recording. Florida, as the first of the year, will be 100% countywide e-recording. In fact, in the judicial system, in the circuit courts in Florida, as of 2 months ago, a lawyer can now walk into the clerk's office and file anymore. He has to do it online, just like the federal bankruptcy system, PACER.
Right.
So e-recording of title documents is going the same direction. Someday you won't even have to leave your desk.
Well, I don't think there's a lot of people doing what you're doing, but I can say from personal experience that you are the best. And anyone out there
that
needs to get documents.
There are three major companies, and we're one of the three. We're the biggest on Google. We're the biggest as far as a processor for firms and credit unions, federal and state. But in our business, there's some people that just let it go through electronically, get rejected 10 times, and not give a reason.
Right. That's what I was going to say. Your work is top-notch because you really care about your clients and you do the job right. Can you tell everyone the name of your company and how they can find you?
It's eRecorderOfDeeds.com. We are a Big Brother e-recording systems company. Basically, it's all computers. We do have people that answer a phone if you call, if you have a problem. Of course, we can't give legal advice on a phone, but we can show you what to fix on your document. But we cannot give legal advice.
Of course. Well, again, we're talking to Steve Boucher, and anyone that needs to have recordings done, if you're an escrow company, a title company, a lawyer, you go to eRecorderOfDeeds.com, and Steve Boucher knows what he's doing. Steve, I want to thank you so much for coming on the show. Welcome back to the show. I'm delighted to have LaDonna Smith on the phone. LaDonna is a lady who has been a victim of domestic abuse. In fact, she's written a book, I Married Satan, Domestic Abuse. LaDonna, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Stuart. Thank you for having me.
Oh, it is really my pleasure. Tell me about what you went through with your ex-husband.
Well, you know, like a lot of women, when I turned 25, I thought my biological clock was ticking. So I was in kind of a rush to get married, and ultimately it led to the book coming out. Now, a lot happened in between my biological clock and the book. For 4.5 years, I thought I had married the man of my dreams. But come to find out, Stuart, it was like almost like a complete nightmare because I went through hell and hot water.
When did he become a monster? How long after you were married?
Actually, yes, he really did it before we were married, but I was kind of oblivious to it, where I really, you know, had my love shades on. I really didn't pay too much attention to it, or actually, I paid attention, but I ignored it. Let's put it that way.
Was he physically abusive to you?
He was, yes. I mean, to the point that he tried to push me on a moving vehicle.
Oh, my God.
We had knives pulled. It was a thing he would sit on the floor spinning a gun. I'm sorry.
Did you have him arrested?
I did have him arrested eventually, and I think that was like the most fearful day of my life when he was arrested. And he got out that same day and came home like he was Mr. Wonderful, like nothing happened. Then I was really afraid.
You weren't able to get a restraining order against him?
That was the ironic part. We both went back and forth with the restraining orders and peace orders and everything, and the judges, they really didn't take it seriously. So it was like we would get one, and then you know, I would end up dropping it, he would dropping it, or the judge wouldn't grant it because they got so tired of seeing us going back and forth.
Wow. Were you abusive to him as well?
I did it out of defense. I saw him coming at me one time, and I kind of like put my hand up, and it did hit him. But it wasn't like I was just beating on him and doing all the things he was doing to me.
Well, that's terrible.
Finally when I got fed up and was like, I have to get out of this.
How long have you been divorced?
Actually, Stuart, we weren't divorced. We were annulled because before me, during me, and after me, he was married to someone else.
Oh, so he was a bigamist.
Yes, on top of an abuser. So this has actually been about 10 years now, give or take. Well, about 8 years because from the process. So it's been about 8 years since we've been apart and fully, you know, no legal ties with each other.
Wow. Did you have kids with him?
No, thank God.
Well, that's lucky.
Yes.
Did he abuse his first wife, too?
See, the thing about it, Stuart, I don't know, because he told me that he married her to stay in the country. This is, like, after the fact, you know, over some years and everything. And so the story that I got is that he actually got put out of the military because he received a domestic violence charge while in the military.
Wow.
But, of course, I didn't know all this until I snatched his, you know, files that he showed me where they were. I took him and actually sat in the bathroom and just read them for hours.
Where was he from?
He was from here. He was American, believe it or not.
Oh, he was American, okay.
Yes.
Well, that's a horrible experience. And now you've written a book about this. What are you telling people and women, the warning signs of what they need to look out for?
Well, in my book, I told my story. It started out as a magazine article and kind of like a revenge tactic because I felt like he got away with everything and I was left with nothing. And in me writing the book, I actually, you know, was able to deal with some things from my own life and my own, you know, past experiences before I even got married, also during while I was married, and then after, as I was going through that healing process. So it's actually my story of, you know, childhood molestation and abuse to the actual marital situation, how we met, and specific details of things that happened while we were married. Like I just told you in the beginning, that was just like the icing. That wasn't the actual cake batter.
Now, have you remarried? Have you put your life back together?
I am. My life is together. I have not remarried.
Are you afraid of men?
I'm sorry.
Are you afraid of men?
Absolutely not. In fact, I'm in a wonderful relationship now. So
well, that's
hopefully I'll lead to marriage, but we'll see.
Because all men aren't jerks like that.
I know. I had
some.
To learn that again.
Can you tell folks about your book? It's I Married Satan, and how they can get a copy of that.
Absolutely. If you want to Google, that's my best friend. Google I Married Satan. It's going to pop up. I Married Satan book, or I Married Satan with Donna M. Smith. I'm also on Facebook. The book is on Amazon. It's in print. It's in ebook. It's on Barnes & Noble. Anywhere that you go get a book, that's where I Married Satan will and should and could be.
Well, folks, if we're speaking to LaDonna Smith, and it sounds like a fascinating book. She's had quite a story. And it's I Married Satan. You can find it on Google, on Facebook, on Barnes & Noble, on Amazon. And I think it's something every woman should read, because especially before you meet this guy and marry this guy, because he could turn out to be just like this jerk she was married to.
Absolutely.
LaDonna, I want to thank you so much for coming on the show.
Rack on Blitzen, though.
This is Stuart Venner. I really want to thank you for tuning into this week's show. We hope you enjoyed it. If you want to find out more, talk with us, or make suggestions for topics or guests, then follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/Stuart Venner or Facebook at facebook.com/Stuart Venner's World. Remember, you can hear all of our shows and see what's new at stuartvenner.com. If you want to hear the Stuart Venner Show in your own area, contact your local radio station and request us. In fact, hound them. Tune in next week for more amazing guests and stories. Thank you.
I wet myself.
Aren't you ashamed?